thank you, it's great to be with you on a sunny day here in Skagit County. Amen. And it's great to be in the house where Holy Spirit is and where people are being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what God wants to do. So appreciate you being the body of Christ, the ministering to one another. And so let's just be open as the word is being spoken for the Holy Spirit to continue to touch you in your hearts, spirit, soul, and body. So all three of parts of us are good, spirit, soul, and body. I want to just challenge you with a message here this morning on what time is it? What time is it? And I could put a little subtitle under this is discerning the times. Okay. So what time is it? A lot of times we look at what's going on out in the world and we try to discern what time it is. Now, I have a watch on here. And I have to constantly move this watch because I travel around the world. And so sometimes I'm 10-hour time change from here. So I have to move the time on my watch to be 10 hours different. And so when I do that, I've learned that the best way to get along when you have a 10-hour time change is to always be in the time zone where you are. So people will say to me, how do you handle that jet lag thing? Jet lag, when you're 10 hours different, that means it's daytime, it's nighttime here. Okay, and so, you know, I'm in my 60s, and so how do you handle that time change thing when it's, you think it should be nighttime, it should be daytime? Well, I've learned that wherever you are, that's where you need to be. Amen. And so you never think where you're not. A lot of it's psychological. So when I'm in Spain, I'm in Spain. When I'm in Africa, I'm in Africa. So I don't think, well, what time is it back home? I have a watch, and I set the time to be whatever time I'm in.
Amen.
So when it says, you know, if it says 11 at night, I know that that's time for this old guy to get to sleep. You know, this guy should be in bed by 11 at night. You know, I'm not like I used to be. I'm up at 2 or 3 in the morning, 11 at night. Okay. And so if it's 11 at night, I don't think, well, let's see now, that would be, you know, that would be 9 in the morning or whatever. I think, no, it's 11 at night. Because I have a watch and I synchronize my watch to be whatever time I'm in. That allows me even to catch airplanes in airports if I have the right time. If I don't change my watch, I'm going to miss my flight. Now, as believers in Christ or human beings who have discovered the mystery of Christ within us. Let's say you're a human being here today and you hadn't discovered the mystery of Christ in you. That's all right. You're a human being. And God so loved you, he sent his son so that you could have a different watch. So you could have a different timepiece than the times of the world. If you look at what's going on in the world, it's hard to discern what time is it. Is it time to shake? Is it time to run away? Is it time to get scared? What time is it? I mean, you turn on the news, what time is it? Is it time to carry a gun? Is it time not to carry a gun? Is it time to get mad? Is it time? What time is it? I don't know what time it is. And so it's important that we have the right timepieces on as believers in Christ. Or maybe you're here today and you haven't discovered that yet. If that was the case, if I was talking to you, I would say, okay, well, then I want to help you get the right timepiece on because Jesus came so that we would all have the timepiece of heaven. Okay, so I'm going to give you 8 things concerning what time it is. Okay, the first thing is, it's time to seek the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, in Matthew 6 verse 31, he says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we do? What job shall we have? I'm adding a few words to that. Don't worry about the stuff that's going on here. But he said, that's the kind of stuff that people who don't know God worry about. So people who don't know God, they're thinking about what do we eat? What do we wear? What do we do? What's going to happen next? And they don't know it, but they're praying those kind of prayers. They may not even be able to say, dear Jesus, help me. They might just say, help. They don't even know there's a God to call out to. But their hearts are saying, what do I do? What do we do? What do we wear? What do we eat? God looks at that and says, that's prayer.
Right.
And he loves those kind of prayers when it comes from the heart of people who don't know him. He doesn't like those kind of prayers that come from the heart of people who know him.
Come on.
When all of our focus and our attention is, what will we do? What's going to be next? What do I eat? What do I wear? What job am I going to have? Worry, 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 worries. And he wants you to say, come on now. Look at your watch. What time is it? He says, it's time to seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
All this stuff will be taken care of. All these
Amen.
Things will be added
That's right.
to you.
Preach it.
I got it. I got
Woo.
This. I'm your dad. I got it.
Amen.
So seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean, to seek the kingdom of God? Oh, and where is the kingdom of God? Do I seek it in some, is it in some other galaxy? Is it in the Middle East? Where is the kingdom of God? That's right. It's inside of us. Paul said the kingdom of, well, Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. It has nothing to do with what you see.
Amen.
He said the kingdom of God is within you. And Paul said the kingdom of God is not what you eat or what you drink, what you do, what you don't do. He said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo!
So there's something inside of us that can synchronize our watches by. Okay, so we're going to seek first the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? It's inside of me. What is the kingdom? It's righteousness in the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's not being right.
Amen. Preach it.
That's being loved.
Amen.
You weren't born to be right. You were born to be loved. That'll end up making you right. And long before you're right, you need to know you're loved. So what is that called? That's called, I passed over your sin. Hello?
Amen.
I love you.
Yes.
So in your heart, do you know that?
Amen.
Synchronize your watch. He loves me. He loves me. And then there's no gap between you and God. That's
Amen.
Peace.
Woo.
It works
yes.
on a good day and a bad day.
Amen.
It works anytime. God says, you got access to my house. You know, mi casa, su casa. Su casa, mi casa. You know, come on, my house is yours, your house is mine. There's no gap between me and you.
Amen.
You know that inside here, there's no separation between me and God. What do I need? He's got everything I need.
Amen.
So I'm seeking this place where there's no gap between me and God in here. And then joy. Where is joy? The psalmist said, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy.
Amen.
So joy is the manifest presence of God. I just told you Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle.
Amen. Amen.
But where does Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles exist?
Inside
of here. I got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I'm going to seek first what's inside of me.
Yes.
Okay, synchronize your watches. What time is it? Seek the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, what's inside of you is going to affect everything outside of you.
Right.
So inside here, put God first. Make God the best in this place, right inside here. And you know what will happen is your barns will be full. Your vats will overflow.
Yeah.
You'll be a life giver to this world.
Amen.
So that's the first thing. If I'm going to discern the times, if I'm going to know what time is it, it's time to seek the kingdom of God. Where is that? That's inside of me. It's a place of righteous peace and joy.
Yes.
Okay? So that'll help you in any time zone. Synchronize your watches. What time is it? Time to seek the kingdom of God. Where is it? It's inside of me. What is it? I was born to be loved. Therefore, I love. There's no separation between me and him. We live together. He's my God. I'm a God person. We live together. In here. Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
So can you remember that?
Yep.
If you can't remember that, just go, ah, ah, and the Spirit will help you remember. Okay. So anytime this week, when you need to synchronize your walk, what time is it? Stuff going on at work. Okay. Seek the kingdom of God. Where is it? It's inside of you.
Yes.
Okay. And the result is going to be, if you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll honor God. You'll put God first. You'll honor him with your first fruit. You'll honor him with your possessions. Do you possess your thoughts, or do your thoughts possess you?
Come on.
Amen. Preach it.
And when you do that, your barns will be full. Your vats will overflow. Life will start coming off of you forever. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, would you like a second thing? Here's a second thing. What time is it? It's time to live by faith for the sake of tomorrow, not fear for the worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to live by faith for the sake of tomorrow, not by fear or worry about tomorrow. In that same chapter of Matthew 6, there's a great verse for great precious promises. In verse 34, it says this: don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
Amen.
Sufficient is the day, the trouble of its own. In other words, you got plenty of trouble right now. There's no reason to add tomorrow's trouble to today.
Preach it. Woo.
Now, what are you going to do with today's trouble? God's going to help you.
Yes.
Okay. And how's he going to help you? You're going to hear his voice louder than the voice of trouble.
Amen. Yes.
How does faith come? Faith comes
by hearing.
Hearing
what? The word of God.
Okay, that's nice and religious. Now talk to me in English or Spanish or some other language. How does faith come? What happens? When God speaks to your heart, faith happens. It's not just reading the Bible. It might be reading the Bible, but it's not just reading the Bible. It's reading the Bible, all of a sudden you hear something in your heart. Or listening to worship, and all of a sudden you hear something in your heart. Taking a walk out in creation, all of a sudden you hear something in your heart.
Amen.
You're in the kitchen looking out your window, and all of a sudden you hear something in your heart.
That's right. Amen.
Faith comes by hearing. And how does faith work? Okay, it works through something. Works through love. Somebody got it? It works through love. Okay, when I know God loves me, I hear him.
Amen.
When I don't know he loves me, it doesn't matter what he says. I can't hear it.
Right.
Did you hear that? When I know he loves me, I hear him. When I don't know he loves me, I can't hear him. Even if he uses words that I understand, I don't hear them right. They sound like, wah, 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 bad you. But when I know he loves me, he can say hard things to me. My wife and I, we love each other. We've been married 39 years. She quit saying this since I used this as an example, but she doesn't say this anymore. But she used to say, honey, would you like to take out the garbage? Okay. Now, when she said that, she wasn't asking me would I like to take out the garbage. She was saying, honey, do you love me? Because no human being really likes to take out the garbage. Do you like to take out the garbage? How many tell her? Nobody. No. She is saying, would you take the garbage out for me? Okay, the answer to that question is real simple. Babe, I'd love to take out the garbage, but it's demonstrated with getting up, walking over, grabbing the bag of garbage, and taking it outside. And sometimes God's like that with us. He says, honey, would you like to take out the garbage? Sometimes faith is demonstrated with works, isn't it?
Amen.
So if I have faith toward tomorrow instead of worry about tomorrow, it's going to be demonstration of how am I acting today.
Amen.
Which means some things are going to be a sacrifice.
Amen.
But not a sacrifice of misery, a sacrifice of faith, a demonstration of love. I love you, God. I love you, one another. I love you, family member. Okay, so we should be so busy demonstrating love, we don't have time to worry about what hasn't happened yet.
Amen. That's right.
What time is it? It's time to live by faith for the sake of tomorrow, not fear for worry of tomorrow. Sufficient is the day, the trouble of its own. We know you've got trouble. Anybody got trouble?
Amen. Well,
great, precious promise. Sufficient is the day, you got your own, right?
Yeah.
You don't need my trouble. You've got plenty to deal with.
Yeah.
And you don't need tomorrow's trouble because tomorrow hadn't come yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'll mess you up every time if you grab tomorrow's trouble today. And God's going to help you with your trouble. He's going to speak to your heart because he loves you, and you're going to hear him, and then you're going to be able to do something. You're going to be able to act differently. So we aren't the people who are afraid. We sang it today. I'm no longer a slave of fear. I'm a child of God. He loves me.
Amen.
So I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. You got trouble today, it's easy to look at trouble and then imagine where trouble's going to go. Or what trouble is going to end up becoming. Well, I got news for you. He loves you. Trouble is going to end up turning out good for you.
Amen. That's right.
Don't thank God. Don't thank God for trouble. Just thank God he's with you in the midst of every trouble.
Amen.
All right, so a third thing. You're going to have to synchronize your watches. What time is it? It's time to embrace a justice system of love.
Amen. Amen.
Now, there's two justice systems. They're based on two family trees. One family tree is called the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. That tree looks like this. When you're naked, when you do something embarrassing, and you hide, and God comes to you and says, "Where have you been?" And you say, "I did something stupid, so I hid." God says this to you: "Who told you you did something stupid?" Who told you you were naked? Who told you you did something stupid? Now, the only way you could know you did something stupid would be to have information about stupid or smart. Okay, now let's take this another step. You hide from somebody else because they did something stupid. Who told you they did something stupid? You had to have enough information to discern between stupid and smart. To decide that what they did was stupid. I'm using stupid and smart. We can use good and evil. We can use right and wrong. Okay? Now, how are you going to get out of that system, that justice system? See, the justice system of stupid, not stupid, fair, unfair, right, wrong, good, evil. You know, there is a right and there is a wrong. There is a smart and there is a stupid. Come on, there is. There is a good and there is an evil. Okay? But the point of life is not what's good, what's evil. The point of life is stay connected to life and you won't be stupid as often.
Amen. Praise God.
And stay connected to life and you won't be stupid as often. So you can pray like this: "Father, forgive me for being stupid exactly the same way I forgive others for being stupid toward me every now and then." Have you ever prayed that? Jesus said, pray like this: "Forgive us our debts." That sounds nice and religious, but really he's saying, "Forgive me for being stupid in the exact same way I forgive other people of being stupid toward me." So if I'm not able to forgive others for being stupid, then I can't complain when I get stuck in stupid. Okay, so now, how do you get out of that justice system of fair and unfair, right and wrong, stupid, smart? Okay? You have to make a judgment because that justice system requires a judgment. Okay, and here's the only judgment that can get you out of that system. Mercy.
Yes.
Amen.
It begins with mercy toward you, mercy toward someone else.
Yes.
It's the only thing that gets you out of the old family tree into the new family tree. What's the new family tree? The tree of life.
Yes.
You were born to be loved. Did Jesus love you when you got smart?
No.
Yeah, you got a revelation of how loving he is. And he didn't care how stupid you were. Right? You got a revelation of love. In Isaiah 11, it says that there's a stump. The old tree's cut down. The old tree, the tree of smart and stupid, the knowledge, the information tree. And then a shoot comes forth. That's Jesus. And then a branch, which is Jesus Christ, Christ the head and Christ the body. A family tree. And the Holy Spirit, all seven aspects of Holy Spirit, rests on that new tree. And it says that he shall not judge by the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ear.
Amen.
What time is it? It has nothing to do with how things look or how things sound. It has to do with the justice system of love.
Amen.
Okay? I was born to be loved by God. Can you say that? I was born to be loved by God. Now, everybody in this room has that same confession, which means if you were born to be loved by God, so is your neighbor.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? So if you're going to have what time is it to properly discern the times, you're going to have to embrace a justice system of love, which means you're going to have to be stupid to evil and wise to good. When Paul wrote to the church of Romans, you know, they lived in Rome. You think you have a problem in figuring out what to do for election of president.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a guy named Nero in charge. Okay? And Nero was in charge. And not to mention only Nero, but in the religious sector, they had the apostate Jews, which were shouting out to the Neroites, saying, kill them, kill them, kill them! Concerning the people who said, we're the way. They got labeled Christians. Okay? And here's what Paul said to the people who got labeled Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. They got accused of being Christ-like. Which is not a bad accusation. If it's real. And they were being, in Rome especially, the church in Rome was especially hearing the religious people say to the Neroites, kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them, destroy them, get them, get them, get them. Right? And here's what Paul said. Paul said, be innocent to evil. Romans 16, 19 says. I feel like there's white haired people in the room. Maybe we remember that song. Okay. Be innocent to evil and excellent to good, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan, soon crush the false accuser underneath your feet.
Yes, amen.
Okay, and literally, at the time that Paul said that, within a matter of a few years, the whole apostate system of Jerusalem was destroyed, and Rome would ultimately be destroyed, and Christianity would infiltrate Rome.
Amen.
Right.
And the God of peace would crush the false accusers underneath their feet.
Amen.
Now, he was quoting Amos 5. You can study this on your own time. But Amos 5, Amos is the prophet that when God said, what do you see? When everything was wrong, when everything was crooked, when everything was wrong in the church, everything was wrong in the world, the justice systems were wrong, nobody was listening to what God says. And God says to Amos the prophet, what do you see, Mr. Prophet? He wasn't a common man who said, I see everything wrong. Everything's crooked, God. Nobody's loving you. Nobody's obeying the law. Nobody's doing what you say. He didn't say that. God said, Mr. Prophet Amos, what do you see? Hey, I see a plumb line. I see the answer. I see you can fix it. I see as it is in heaven, and a string is dropping down, and there's a weight, and everything on earth can be as it is in heaven. I see a plumb line, sir. Okay? And then Amos 5, he said, at a time when everything's crooked, at a time when those who have the right watches on see a plumb line, it's time to seek God and live. Don't seek, where's the right house of God? That would be Bethel. Don't seek Gilgal. Where is the healing? Where is the deliverance? When are we going to be rescued? Don't seek Beersheba. That's the promise. When is the promise going to come to pass? Don't seek any of those things. Don't seek the house of God, the deliverance of God, the promise of God. Seek God. Because if you seek those other things, what will happen is you'll end up with bitterness, wormwood. Because it won't turn out the way you thought. So forget about all that. And then the prophet says this. At a time when everything's crooked, those with common sense, the prudent, you know what they do? Shut up. They just shut up. They seek God. They become innocent to evil and wise to good. Let me show you what that looks like. When evil happens, you say, what? And when good happens, you go, whoa, wow. When evil things happen, you go, huh? Where's the good? When good things happen, you say, whoa, there's the good. Where's more? When evil things happen, you say, whoa, where's the good? When good things happen, you say, whoa, whoa, where's more? When evil things happen, you say, whoa, where's the good? When good happens, you go, whoa, where's more? Evil things happen. Where's the good? You see, you're innocent to evil. Where's the good? And you're wise to good. Where's the more? And the God of peace will soon crush every false thing underneath your feet.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's number three. It's time to embrace a justice system of love. Number four, it's time to see people belonging before they are believing. Quit treating people like this. Quit telling people if you believe, you too can belong. Recognize what Jesus did. He walked through the neighborhood, nobody believed it. He didn't care. Does he believe? God so loved the world. Paul says he reconciled us while we were yet sinners. Everybody's been reconnected, just not everybody knows it. Quit treating them like they're not connected. Quit treating them like they got to become a member of your club before they're okay. Treat them like they're okay and they might want to join your club. Start talking to them as though they know God. They can figure out whether they do or not.
Amen.
And quit assuming them they don't. Quit preaching Jesus to them and just be Jesus to them.
Yes.
Amen. There you go.
And they'll eat with you and hang out with you. They'll know they're not the same. And pretty soon they'll say, hey, you know what? What is it that you believe? I would like to believe that too.
Three appeals
that I think every altar call should have. And every altar call should be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Amen.
Every altar call should have the number one appeal is this. The number one appeal is, hey, you belong. Why don't you consider following?
Yep.
You don't have to believe, just follow.
Yeah,
find somebody who believes. You don't have to believe, just follow it. See if it's real. See if it's real.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if you've been following for a while, hey, you've come to a revelation by now. He's really good, isn't he? So why don't you just believe? Now, if you've been believing and your world's still falling apart, here's the issue. You're probably not listening.
Amen.
You're not responding. That means you're not building your house on the rock. Everybody's hearing. But only when you build your house on the rock, when stuff happens, does your house not fall.
Amen.
Thank you.
And you know what's more important than your house? The rock.
Amen.
Because the story's not about how strong your house can be. The story's about how strong the rock is.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because storms come against everybody's house.
Yes.
And the one who builds his house on the rock is simply one who hears and responds. And so I always treat people like, hey, he's really good. You belong. Come on, let's just follow. And then if they want to believe, wonderful, you believe it. And then if their world's falling apart, I don't try to fix their world for them. I just say, have you been listening to what he's been saying to you? If he hasn't, come on, I'll hold your hand. Let's just respond to what he said.
Come on, amen.
Amen.
And he'll get you through. Okay? So synchronize your watches. Seek the kingdom of God. Live with faith toward tomorrow, not fear about tomorrow. Embrace the justice system of love, and then see people as belonging before they are believing.
Amen.
And I would include in that, don't expect those who are not in covenant with God to understand the covenants of God.
Oh, yes.
And don't be afraid to partner with them. The scripture that says, don't cast your pearls before swine. The context of that, Matthew 7 or 6. The context of that is not slimy, disgusting people. It's just saying, don't expect people who don't have a covenant with God, that would be swine. Don't expect people who are unclean, who don't understand the covenants of God, to understand the covenants of God. So don't throw your pearls before them. Don't try to make them believe.
Amen.
Don't shame them for breaking covenant. They don't even know what a covenant is.
Amen. Preach it.
Don't put your values on them. Just demonstrate values.
Yes.
Don't put shame on you, values on them. For goodness sake, they don't have the same values. Eat pig's oint, dog bark, cats yell instead of sin. Shouldn't be a shock. So don't cast your pearls before them. Don't put on them. Don't expect them to have a revelation of Father's love. That would be a pearl. Don't expect them to have a revelation of the Father's love. You have that. And don't condemn them for not having that revelation.
Amen.
I don't care if, and I don't care if somebody in the world thinks they know God and pretends they do. My God's bigger than any great pretender. I don't care. Go ahead and pretend. It's cool. Okay.
Amen.
And if someone says they're a Christian and they're not, cool, wonderful. They said they are. Okay. Fifth thing it's time for, just a few more things because our watch is going down on the wall, so we got to know what time is it. The fifth thing it's time is this. It's time for hope.
Amen.
Woo! It's time for hope. Philippians 3:3 says, we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So then we shouldn't get shaken when things in the flesh go bad.
Amen.
When natural things go wrong, how should that shake us? We have no confidence in the flesh anyway. Okay? And Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
We know. We sort of know. We kind of know. We really know. Do you know? That doesn't mean all things are good. It just means all things work together for good.
Amen. That's right.
Now, put this in an intimate God. Father, Son, not a sovereign slave. Sovereign God, slave people. Put it in Father, children. Father loves children.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I don't believe that God, I don't believe that what makes God God is that he knows all things. I say this every time I'm here, I'm sure. I say it everywhere I go. Because we put this label, we tried to make God, God. That's what he is. He's God. That's what the world is looking for, a God. I wasn't looking for a God. I'm looking for a life source.
Amen.
He happens to be God. But Father more accurately describes him than God. He just happens to be Father who is God.
Amen.
So does he know all things?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you no. Does he know your sins and your lawless deeds? He said, I don't remember those anymore forever. So he does not know.
Amen.
Now, let me rephrase the question. Can he know all things?
Yes.
Yes. Does he know all things? No. He doesn't know your sins and your lawless deeds. The only one that knows that is you and the devils you remind.
Amen. Come on.
And you do that just in case you forget, then you'll have something to do tomorrow when the devil reminds you. Okay. Does he know all things? Okay. Abel is the first man of faith, gave God a sacrifice that made God speechless. God's back. He was surprised. One day, Joshua was in the battle, and Joshua said, God, give me another day. And it says, that day, God heeded the voice of a man. That implies God didn't know it.
That's right.
Here's one that God didn't know. God made all the animals. Then he made Adam, and he said, Adam, go name the animals. God didn't know what they were named.
That's right.
Until Adam named them. Then God said, that's good. I like it. Come on. We say a lot of things that are not biblical. There is so much evidence in Scripture that God does not know all things. There are evidence in Scripture where God will change his mind.
Yes. Thank God.
Now, you say, yeah, but he knows the hairs on your head. Read the context of that verse, because the context of that verse is care, not fact. He cares for you so much, he knows all the hairs on your head. Not one hair will be lost. Paul said to the man on the ship, listen to me and not a hair on your head will be lost. And the ship sunk. Did anybody lose a hair? I think they did. I think a log hit the captain on the head and he lost 5 hairs. Number 3,209, number 7,050, number 5, and on top of all that, he lost number 1. No, it was an idiom saying God's going to take care of us. Not a thing's going to be lost. Not even a hair is going to be lost on your head. You ever said, well, that's really cool. Does that mean it's cold? Wow, you're hot. I mean, like, can't touch you. Oh, my goodness, this book weighs a ton. Really, 2,000 pounds? How do you even get it in the air? Come on. He knows all the hairs on your heads as an expression of care. I love you that much.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so it's an expression of care, not an expression of fact. And I'll tell you why God can change his mind. God will change his mind because he cannot change his character. Religion will change their will never change their mind because they'll change their character because they can't change your mind.
Oh, yes.
You appeal to God's mercy, he says, okay, I changed my mind.
Yes.
You appeal to his character, he'll change his mind every time.
Amen. Yes.
You appeal to a religious person's word, and they'll change their character to defend their word. They loved you a minute ago, but now they hate you.
Amen.
Because they can't change their mind.
Amen.
God's not too proud, he changes his mind a lot. I was going to do that, but now you appeal to my character. I guess I won't do that. I was going to destroy Nineveh right now, but not, I guess not. I was going to wipe out all these people, but now that you explained it to me, Moses, I guess not. Mm-hmm. We'll use them.
That's right.
Or, I gave the land to all million of you, but none of you wanted it, so I changed my mind. It's not yours now.
Come on.
You didn't want it. Oh. Anyway, so what time is it? Time to seek the kingdom. Time to live by faith for the sake of tomorrow. Time to embrace the justice system of love. It's time to see people's belonging before they believe. And it's a time for hope. God is good. He loves me. He's going to work it out.
Amen.
Okay, the sixth thing is the time of the present and the future, but not the past. It's the time of the present and the future.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
It's time of the present. He knows the present and the future. So you can return to your first love, but you cannot return to your first experience.
Amen.
Amen.
And what destroys relationships is trying to return to your first experience.
Yes. That's good.
You can return to your first experience. So here's a phrase that doesn't work then. Why don't you anymore? Why don't you do this anymore? Well, why would you do that? We don't live in the past.
Come on. Come on. I love it.
Come on.
Yes.
Move into the neighborhood. Today is today. We got plenty of tomorrow. You got all kinds of first experiences you haven't had yet.
Amen.
And sometimes first experiences come with crying. Sometimes they come with laughing. Laughter. Sometimes they're loud. Sometimes they're quiet. But you got so many first things. You're not dead yet.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you got Christ, you're never going to die. So you got so many first experiences.
Yes.
Woo. Pour it out, man. Woo.
So it's time for the present and for the future. I had a prophecy in 2004, September 24th. I released a prophecy up in Bellingham in 2004. And when I released that prophecy, I don't know who anybody here was in there, but the clock on the wall stopped, my watch stopped, the two other timepieces stopped all at the same time, 7:45 p.m. It all stopped, and there was a word, the prophecy was that God was going to release a grassroots revolution in the earth, and there was going to be the restoration of the speech of the Lord, the speaking of the Lord, the speaking of the word of the Lord. There was going to be the removal of the headship of promiscuity and legalism.
Amen.
A grassroots revolution is going to come in the earth. And the next morning, clock, battery had been changed, all watchers working, and at 9:45 a.m., the presence of God came into the room, the same anointing, and all four timepieces stopped again at the exact same minute. Now you got a better chance of winning the lottery than you got four timepieces to stop 2 days in a row at the exact same minute, two different times.
Wow.
Okay, four is the number of covenant. And two is the number of witness, and two things were being removed, promiscuity and legalism. And I asked God, why the time? Why did it stop? And he reminded me of Joshua He was in the battle. And the time stopped. He said, give me another day. God gave him another day. And during the battle, there were five Amorite kings. Amorite means bitterness. Bitter kings. And he shoved them in a cave. He said, we'll deal with you after the war is done, after the battle is done. When the battle was done, he said to the next generation, come here, come here, come here. I want you to put your foot on the necks of these guys. And God says to me, those kings of bitterness, those Amorites, they come from their bitterness. Bitterness is rooted in time. You can only be bitter if you have a remember when. If you only live in the if you're stuck in the past, it'll make you bitter. If you live in the present for the future, it'll make you better.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you're stuck in the past, it'll make you bitter. And the end result is you'll either be promiscuous or legalistic. You'll either create a world where anything goes or you create a world where nothing goes. Okay? So you got to have a time. Your clock cannot say yesterday. It can only say now and tomorrow.
Yes. Amen.
Okay? So we're discerning the times. What time is it? It's time to seek the kingdom of God. It's time to live by faith for tomorrow. It's time to embrace a justice system of love. It's time to see people belonging before they believe. It's time for a hope. It's time for the present and the future. Boy, I like my watch. The seventh thing it's time for, it's time to live for the well-being of others.
Amen.
Okay? In 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24, all things are lawful for me. Yes. I can do anything. But not all things are helpful.
Yes.
All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify.
Yes.
Let no one seek his own, but each want the other's well-being. So how do I know what to do? Whatever I do is going to be for the well-being of others.
Amen.
I can do anything, but not everything is helpful.
Yes.
I can do anything, and it doesn't change God's love for me, but not anything works.
Yes. Amen.
So how do I know what to do? Does it produce life? Does it give life to somebody else? Does it make someone come alive? Does it strengthen them? Hey, what time is your watch? Time to live for the well-being of others. I can do anything as long as it... Oh, yeah, that will bring life. And I could... You came to me today and you said that God's been speaking to you out of where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, which in the Matthew's account, or Luke's account, it's a New Testament account of Isaiah 61. Now my son, my pastor, he taught me something. He says concerning Isaiah 61, I'm anointed for good news, but I'm not anointed for bad news. I'm anointed to open prison doors and let people out, but I'm not anointed to put them in prison. I'm anointed to open the door so that captives can be freed, but I'm not anointed to make captives out of people.
Amen.
Okay, we could say I'm anointed to bring sight, but I'm not anointed to make people blind. So when it comes to bad news, you got no anointing for it.
Amen.
You suck at bad news, so stop it. You're terrible at putting people in prison. Stop it. You got an anointing to free them, to open the doors. An anointing for releasing life. So it's time to seek the well-being of others. And what's the final thing? The E thing. It's time to forget the former things and see things created now. Isaiah 48, verse 6 and 7. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things that you did not know them. You did not know them. They are created now, not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course, I knew those things. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago, your ears were not open. Okay? You know why? Because I knew you'd screw it up if you knew. You can read the rest of the verses. So there are things in your life that haven't been created yet. There are dreams that haven't been written yet. There are things that haven't been created. Not from the beginning, right now.
Amen.
I didn't say it. The prophet Isaiah said it by the Spirit of the Lord. So God said it.
Amen.
So it's time to forget the former things and see things created now. Like Paul said, I press on. I forget everything past. And I press on toward that resurrection life.
Mm-hmm.
So God can create things now if we live in the now of God. So I can say, there will be a day when we'll go to heaven, but I got news. Today's not that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. And if it is that day for you, that's cool. You'll just get promoted. But in the present moment in this room, it looks like everybody's breathing, so you've got to watch. So what time is it in America? It's the same time that it is in Europe. It's the same time that it is in Africa. It's the same time it is in any family, every family on planet Earth. The time is now. Okay? And in the time called now, it's time to seek the kingdom of God, an eternal kingdom. God's my God. I'm a God person. We live together.
Yeah. Amen.
He's going to bring life to this world.
Yes.
It's time to live by faith for the sake of tomorrow, not fear, the worry of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
It's time to embrace the justice system of love.
Yes.
Don't make a judgment of anybody.
Amen.
Well, I take that back. You have to make a judgment to get freed from that other system. And the only judgment you can make that gets you free is mercy.
Amen.
So if you look in the room and you look in the mirror, you get up tomorrow and you look in the mirror, you go home today and you look in the mirror, and your first thought is, stupid you, okay, then you need to make a judgment. Mercy.
Amen.
Born to be loved. Amen. Then you'll have to conclude is, my goodness, you rascal, you don't deserve it. My, look it, he loves you. You're awesome.
Amen.
You glow in the dark.
Oh
my goodness, you're his favorite.
Amen.
You're his favorite. Okay? It's time to expect those who are to not, it's time not to expect those in the world to understand covenant. Don't put on them what's in you.
Right?
Amen.
Very good. It's time for hope. It's time for the present and the future, not time for the past. It's time to seek the well-being of others. It's time to forget the former things so that new things can be created now.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! So, Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that it's the same time in Skagit County as it is in Whatcom County.
Yes.
Thank you, God, that it's the same time right here in America that it is in heaven. The time is now. I pray there would be such an anointing for the synchronized time of God in this, your people here, that nothing will shake them. The kingdoms of this world shake, but we are not of the kingdoms of this world. We're of the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. And even our expression in this world is simply that kingdom becoming more fully your expression of your kingdom. So thank you, God. I pray that we'd be such an anointing on this people to live with synchronized watches, to live in the now, that nothing would move them, but everything would move because of this.
Yes.
That this county would be changed, their families would be changed. There would be a grassroots revolution right here in Skagit County. The goodness of your name would be famous. Famous. In Jesus' name I say, amen.